Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O God, you are our rock and our redeemer. God, we thank you that you are here with us. God, we know that you are always already here. And God, during this time, we open ourselves up. And we ask that you would speak to our hearts, our minds, God, that we might truly, truly listen and be your people. God, speak through me and in spite of me. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you. And I was looking over, I see a couple of babies out there on my right. So glad you're here, babies. You are welcome to make baby noises. That's just fine. That is just fine. What a blessing that is. And for babies of all, for children of all ages, I guess you could say. It's a wonderful time to be here, joining in communion with folks all over the world and celebrating God's goodness today. And like many of you this past week, as I watched the storm come and hit Florida, and then praying for the folks as it's gone to South Carolina, the folks that were in harm's way, I had a word that began to settle on my heart, and I'd been thinking about this a whole lot with my own situation, with the situation of the Methodist Church, all the conversations that are being had, all that is going on in life, and this word was just really solid on my heart, and it's a word, the word is steadfast. Steadfast. We sang about it just a moment ago, but I love the beautiful music that Matt and Elisa sang this morning, and this idea of being steadfast is all through the Bible. We might define it all kinds of different ways. I bet if you had to define it for your neighbor, you would probably say something like steady or solid, or it could mean enduring or persistent. I looked it up, and this is what I found when I looked it up. Steadfast is resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering, as in steadfast loyalty. And then there's a bunch of similar words. Now, when I read this, I believe that Boy Scouts are steadfast, because it sounds like the Boy Scout motto, on my honor, I will do my best to be loyal, committed, devoted, dedicated, dependable, reliable, steady, solid, consistent, trusty, determined, persistent, enduring, and anchored in what we believe in, how we trust, and how we have faith. And this is steadfast. I want to be a steadfast person. And the older I get, the more value I see in this real conviction, this even ambition. Matt and I talked about ambition this morning. This ambition, as I've grown older, to be dependable, to be trustworthy, to be steadfast in what we believe and who we are. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this. Today is about our steadfast faith, and we'll be talking about our character, our church being steadfast, and what that means for us today. We, of course, know that we fall short sometimes of this, and we would like to be more steadfast in certain things. And as I speak these words, maybe there's something in your life that you wish you were more steadfast in. Maybe there's something specific for you. You think, well, I'm steady in these things, but I could be more steadfast in these areas. And of course, we look to Jesus as our steadfast one. When we study Christ and we see the work of Christ Jesus in the scriptures, that's one of those things that's just unavoidable about Christ. Christ is steadfast. So many examples of this. He sets his face to Jerusalem, resolutely going to Jerusalem to die on the cross. He nonviolent revolutionary who who dies on the cross for our sins and then is so steadfast that when they place him in the tomb could not hold him. He is resurrected to give us hope. We look to Jesus as our steadfast one. And you know, it's interesting to think about the way that we love God and we love our neighbors. And last week in Bible study, or a couple weeks ago in Bible study on Wednesday night, we talked about sin as the lack of loving God and loving our neighbors fully. And so when we talk about Jesus without sin, he is the one who loves God and loves neighbor with all of his heart, mind, soul, strength. And so we look to Jesus in that. And as he is in ministry, he's loving God and he's loving his neighbors. And there's this place in the gospel with Matthew where he's going to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked who people say that he is. Who is it that people are saying that I am? And their answers are, well, some people say John the Baptist. Other people say Elijah. You're a powerful prophet. And then he turns to his disciples and he asks this question. Well, who do you say that I am? And when he says this, what about you? Who do you say that I am? I always read this as a very personal question. Who do I say that he is? Where is my faith in that? And then Simon Peter is the one who says it right out loud, this confession. He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, well, you didn't come to this on your own. This is not just something that you thought up. He said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And then Jesus names him. He says, I tell you that you are Peter. Peter, of course, means rock. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. In other words, you've answered this, you're seeing this, and God's revealed this to you, and you're solid. You are steadfast, Peter. And we kind of think, well, maybe that's kind of ironic, or maybe the name was given to Peter to encourage him to really be that solid, that steadfast of a person. Because right after this, he's not. He's just not. Right after this, Jesus goes on to explain about his death and resurrection, and Peter tries to stand in the way. He doesn't understand, and Jesus calls him the worst thing you could call somebody, really. He says, get behind me, Satan. That's right after Jesus names him the rock, Peter. Peter is anything but steadfast in the Gospels. He's impulsive, right? He walks on water, but then he loses his focus, and he doubts, and he begins to sink. When the guards come to arrest Jesus, it was Peter who doesn't listen to these teachings, right? Jesus said, if you listen to my teachings, you're like a wise builder who built his house on the rock, on this foundation. And Peter takes out his sword and cuts off a guard's ear. Jesus takes the ear and heals it, puts it back on. Peter is not steadfast yet. Jesus sees something in him that he doesn't even see yet. I mean, you don't get any less steadfast than denying that you even know Jesus when the going gets tough. That's three times Peter does that. He's like the patron saint of of unsteadfastness, of wavering, right, during this time. And then he goes back to fishing. He's back out fishing again. And Jesus appears to Peter at the end of John's gospel. He has been resurrected. And he takes Peter aside and he says, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "I do, Lord." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." In other words, they're going to need a shepherd, Peter. "Do you love me? Take care of my lambs. Be steadfast, Peter. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." You know, we go through times, don't we, of not feeling like we're all that steadfast. The storm is coming and we are very afraid. But we have a foundation in Christ Jesus. This week I was thinking so much about how not just like a house needs a foundation. Children need adults that are steadfast, don't they? Children need that, especially when they're afraid. I had a conversation with my friend Gus this past week, and we were talking about Isabella as a little girl. And Gus said that there was a time where she was just afraid of storms that came. You know, thunderstorms would come, and Isabella would get afraid. Isabella's one of the most steadfast people that I know nowadays. But I can imagine she was just really scared. And Gus would say, don't worry, honey. The storm will pass. And then he said, listen to the thunder. You can tell it's going, it's further and further away now. Listen, you can count how many seconds. I love to do this. When you see a flash of lightning, you can count how many seconds. And then you hear the thunder. It's miles away. And it's passing. There'll be more storms, but we can rest assured that they're passing. You have a good foundation. You can be steadfast. This wonderful thing happens each month in chapel. In the mornings, on Wednesday morning in chapel, we celebrate birthdays. And sometimes we celebrate when a little baby is born to a family with a child in the day school or the CDC. And there is a special mouse that comes out once a month. The mouse is named Gertie. And Liz is a teacher. She's been at the day school for about 30 years. And Liz is steadfast, but Gertie is shaky. And it takes a little while to get Gertie to come out. I brought Gertie's box out, and we always wonder if Gertie will come out. And Liz always kind of, this is Miss Liz up there with Gertie. There's a moment where we're not sure, and so Miss Liz asks everybody to be very, very quiet because Gertie is kind of scared easily. And so Miss Liz gently knocks on Gertie's home. "Gertie?" And the kids might be making noise, you know, the kids might be talking or carrying on, but when Miss Liz starts in on talking to Gertie, her voice goes real quiet. And all the children, they're real quiet too. "Gertie? Are you home, Gertie? I think Gertie's going to come out. If we're all quiet, Gertie will come out." And "It's okay, Gertie, as our friends are here. You're not alone. You don't have to be scared." And then Gertie comes out a little bit. Gertie's kind of shaky. "It's okay, Gertie. Yeah, these folks are a little older than the folks that were here on Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah, they're good people. You can tell that. Yeah." And then Gertie's still kind of shaky though. Maybe we should help her to breathe. And so we all need to take a moment and we breathe in. So we breathe in, and we breathe out, and we breathe in, and then Gertie's a little less shaky, aren't you? Yeah. And then we celebrate the birthdays together, and Gertie gives a treat from in her home to the kids that are having birthdays or the celebration of new babies. And I was thinking, you're gonna go back in your home now. Is that okay? It's okay. Okay. She says, thank you for being such an awesome church. I want to tell you that. Yeah. Yeah, watch your tail. Okay. The thing is, Gertie's shaken, but Miss Liz, steadfast. Because Miss Liz is steadfast, Gertie can be steadfast too. And if you're a kid out in chapel, what does this say to you? Well, a couple things. One is that it's okay. It's okay to have these feelings like you're afraid or like you don't have it all together. That's okay. And you're not alone. You might have some of the same feelings that Gertie has. And that's okay. And the other thing that it says is, you know, it's good to know. It's good to know that you have someone that's steadfast. Someone that will help you to breathe. Someone that speaks softly and kindly and reminds you that things are going to be okay. Someone that you can trust. Someone that lets you know that the storm's going to pass. That it's going to be okay. That you have a firm foundation. And that you can grow and you can build again. We are sometimes like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus knew that. So he says to Peter, be steadfast, feed my sheep, take care of my lambs. Because we have a firm foundation, we too can be steadfast, no matter what storms come our way. Peter does that. You can see that as very different character we meet in Acts when Pentecost happened and Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. He speaks and 3,000 people hear the good news and they come to know Jesus Christ. The church is born. These little communities are formed and they're shepherded. And then right towards the end of his life, when Peter wrote his letters to the churches, he is just about to be crucified himself by Nero. Scholars believe by Emperor Nero. And he writes to the churches and he encourages. If there's one theme that echoes through Peter's letters to the churches and to us today, it's be steadfast in your faith, in your hope, in your trust, in your character. And he expands on that. And some translations, like the one here that we have, I turned to 2 Peter. I was at a funeral a few weeks ago, and there was a Catholic priest that was here, and the Catholic priest didn't know that we don't normally pick up the great big Bible. And he picked up the great big Bible, sort of kind of danced with it a little bit. I thought, that is so cool. I want to do that. I couldn't wait to grab the big old Bible. And in 2 Peter, Peter writes to the church, and he says, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue, knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. This is heavy. Got to be steadfast to carry this book here. I don't know that it likes to be carried. It's okay. Back. the Message translation of this really, I think, hits a home run in describing the character of someone who's steadfast. And we'll talk more about this next week. I just love this translation. So don't lose a minute in building on what you've already been given. Complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. Each dimension fitting into and developing the others. Each dimension fitting into and developing the others. May you be steadfast, knowing that Christ is steadfast and your foundation is secure. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that no matter what happens in this life, whether highs or lows or storms that come or angels or principalities, as the scripture said, nothing. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us. God, we thank you that you have called us to be people that are dependable and trustworthy and rock solid. God, thank you for calling us to be steadfast and for giving us these examples to look towards and ways to build our lives in this way. God, thank you that no matter what happens, we can be steadfast in knowing that we are anchored in you and that you are our rock, our redeemer, our foundation for which we can build our lives. God, we love you and we thank you. We pray all these things in the strong, resurrected name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus.